गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं मात यं ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो इन् एनी केस् we completed last week a few verses. We put them all together. They were discussing about dharma and about just worldly activity, worldly actions without taking any papa punyam, the sin merit, without taking punarujanma, like this other birth, previous birth, future birth, all these things to consideration, just worldly. Through these things, we took this because here Sri Krishna said, okay, if you're not somebody, if you don't have Shraddha in what I'm saying, Aikyam, in what Vedanta is pointing out, if you first of all just think that you're somebody who is born and dies, even from this perspective, earlier on, he did point out this. He just flipped back to Vedanta for a bit. He said, you know, even if you think of Atma being born and dying, still you shouldn't worry because everybody comes and goes. According to their karma, they're going to come and go. So somebody who has this type of vision that you're a Jivatma, you're going to be born, you'll go through some your karma according to your previous actions, you're creating karma for future, meaning your karma to be along with people is limited. It'll be for some time. It'll be for a short time, it'll be gone. So then that's, you know, you better to do your duty than to hesitate in this and be attached, because it's going to be gone anyway very soon, before you know it. So, but in any case here, so the dharma, he said, yes, if you do according to dharma, look, from dharmic perspective, you have a perfect opportunity. You die, you go to heaven. You live, you're going to get your, you're going to rule. your people are going to rule, you'll be a ruler. So either way, you're going to get in a good place because you're doing it, you have your duty to do. So from that perspective, you can do that. And if you have just totally worldly perspective, you don't have any shraddha, any conviction, the fact that you are something beyond cradle to grave, then, you know, then still, you know, what happens is, from this perspective, is if you don't do, everything you've got, you've built up to now is going to collapse because people will not think well of you because they think of you as so great. They're not going to think, oh, you know, he had some compassion, so he didn't fight. They'll say, you know, look, all these great stories about Arjuna were myth. He's really not really a great warrior. And not just is your old fame going to be here and people now will speak bad about you, but it'll be written in the annals of history because you're, you know, you guys are very famous like this. Like, you know, imagine earlier on, if Nixon would have known that there's a chance this would happen, then, you know, he probably would have had a fair election, won or lost, whichever way. Better to lose like that and be known as a president of the United States than the president who had to step down or who would have been impeached, right? Like this. So, you know, so in this way, from worldly perspective also, your everything you gain will be lost in this way. Your reputation will be finished. So like this. So he spoke from these perspectives. And a more tamasic-minded person needs the worldly achievements because some people are born very rich, they have everything, then, okay, what am I going to do? Like this. But if you... somebody like that, you say, hey, you know, somebody that is tamasic, you work hard. That rich child, you'll say, hey, are you just going to have your name and fame because of your parents? You go and make your own name so you'll be known for yourself that you did something in the world. You'll be successful, right? I know, this I think happens in Tata in India, and I know a family like this, a well-to-do family who has a big business in the East Coast. Both of these, what they do is the next generation work from the bottom up. So they don't take for granted that they are management. They'll get, you know, of course, they'll probably get there. But the thing is, they have to earn their way because otherwise they don't know. First of all, they don't know what it is like to work in this, you know, lower level jobs, if you want to call them. And also, they'll just take for granted what they have. But from worldly perspective, then somebody who's, you know, okay, what am I going to do? Tamasic this, they have to give them a good goal. You'll be successful. You'll be known. You'll get money. You'll get pleasures. Okay, then there's something to do. So worldly perspective, that's needed. So somebody who is down, you need something for them to do like this. So that's now, then for a subtler level, then the next point they say, well, okay, go in the heaven, you'll get even better place than in this world. If you want a better place in heaven, do the things, but live a dharmic life. You know, dharmic life, and you'll get in heaven so then, or in the next life better. So then what happens is, it's kind of postponing this, and you're building up the good qualities, because to get to the heaven, you need the good qualities. So it's still kamya karma. But the thing is, it's kind of like, yes, you tell somebody you'll get the treat, but once they mature enough, they're going to not want the treat. And they'll say, okay, if I get enough. Because then if we mature enough with dharma, slowly we see the reward is in the pure mind. The mind is less disturbed. That is, you know, oh, how wonderful. You know, if you feel more better inside, that's already the better result than later. Because what happens, both of these, the worldly and the otherworldly action with expectation means I'm going to work and I'll get the results later at some point. Now what happens though is those results, they'll come. You know, whatever you do, eventually the result will come. But first of all, you can't, you know, you're not finding what's here and now because the goal is somewhere else. And also that goal is fleeting, no matter what it is. In some, whether it's Pauranic story or wherever it's from, written how, you know, the king ruled for 10,000 years, very righteous and everything. Afterwards, he put his son on the throne and retired, went to the forest, renounced. So people say, well, what kind of, what, you know, what are these? These are silly stories. What is the, what if nobody lives 10,000 years? Nobody this. So the thing is, if that's, the story is like that, there's a reason why the story is there, right? There's a reason. What does that mean? So the reason there is, well, even though the king had all the power, all the pleasures, all this, for so, so long, he wasn't content. So he saw you to renounce and go to the party after eventually renounced. So that's what the story is pointing out. So the dharmic from perspective of I will gain punyam, get to something better, have merit, get to some greater place, is good. But again, it's just a stepping stone. It's still rajasic, but a little more sattva put in there, a little more, because you have to create more sattvic mind for your pure mind. Then afterwards you see, well, that's not, it can't be the end, because that end is endless, because the cycle of activity is endless. Whatever you do, there will be a result, it'll be for some time. And then what? You do something, result in some time. Where do you get to? So that's why those aren't sufficient for us. Why the whole karma kanda, what's in the Upanishads, the majority of the Upanishads is dealing with this ritual so you can get for something. Where here in Vedanta we say, okay, but really you do the actions, but you do it for chitta shuddhi, for the purification of mind. If you do for that, then there's more of a reason for it, because preparation, it's not an end in itself. And that's where what Sri Krishna is now moving into karma yoga after this. Natural continuation from here after explaining the worldly and this. Now saying, okay, if that, these are ways you can do action for more tamasic mind, for rajasic mind. The rajasic mind won't become tamasic all at once. So first of all, yes, you get the result sometime. And slowly, slowly, you know, more and less and less expectation result, more doing it as karma yoga, like this. So shifting into that where we're at here. So we're on verse 38, right? Yeah. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Labha labhau jaya jayau. Labhau jaya jayau. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Naivam papam avapsyasi. Naivam papam avapsyasi. Regarding happiness and sorrow, gain and loss, victory and defeat alike, prepare for war. In this manner, you will not incur sin. So one of the main things that Sri Krishna is talking about in Gita is samatvam. Other places he says samatvam yoga uchyate, equilibrium, balanced mind. This one is for anything, it's useful. Anything you want to get into, you want to achieve, then, you know, having this is very important. So the attitude, how I do things. Because without that, you get carried away, and then, you know, whatever it is I'm doing, then if I'm carried away by emotions here, there, how am I going to really focus on that test, do it properly? I can't, because the emotions just, you know, get me off balance like this. So this is, here is starting to get into that. That is the most important thing. So again, helpful for anything we do, any worldly goal as well, because, you know, otherwise, you know. So in this way, this is what he's getting into. And he's saying, so sukha dukkham, this is the main karma palam. The rest is the situation in order to bring me the sukha dukkham. You need some instrument for it, right? You want an instrument to give it to you. Like you're all parents, you have kids. So the kids bring you sukham and dukkham, right? They're bringing both. So instruments to bring both of them. They're the best instruments, as they bring a lot of sukham and a lot of dukkham, right? More intense, you know, work, okay, some, and friends and this, but the immediate family, especially the children, bring the most. So it's karma pala. So That's the main thing. So I have to learn what happens when I'm after karma phala, meaning I want to get sukham and I don't want dukkham. I want happiness and I don't want sorrow. That's what I want. But what are they? They're temporary conditions, right? You know, it's a temporary condition that'll come and will go. So, meaning if I want to always run away from the sorrow, certain things bring me some pain or discomfort of this, I want to always run away from them. And I always run after something that will give me the happiness, then I have to keep running and running to find it. And it's an eternally running, because what brings me pleasure now, comfort now, won't do it later. It'll change. Now I think this will make me happy, so I have it, it's wonderful, but then either that thing changes, doesn't do it anymore, or that thing goes away, or my mind changes, if not even that, my mind changes, right? I think this will be too. You know, each one of us has the, you know, some job we have, where someday we say, I'm very lucky, this is very good job, or good people, or good place, or it's doing some good service, right? I'm very fortunate, very... Other days I think, why me? Why did I fall into this thing? Why do I have to... This is not... How stupid. I need to change this. I can't do this anymore. Right? So this one. So the thing is then, this is bringing the ups and downs. And the mind will, you know, mind is something changing. So mind is constant movement, so we'll have the ups and downs. So if I'm attached to a certain state of mind, then what happens? Right? So the thing is, if I'm not attached to that state of mind, and I say, okay, you know, my own mind itself, you know, start with the body, with things around me, you know, certain things, work situation or whatever it is around. And then with the body itself, right? The body itself, I have to be equilibrium, take care of it. It's given to me. Somehow I got this instrument, so I take care of it, but, you know, I don't have to overdo it. Like some people, every weekend, their car, they're cleaning and they're touching up the tiny little paint. One time we were driving, I was driving my wife's musician some years ago, and they were here in a van, so I drove. You know, somebody honked. I looked, I didn't see anybody. We drove 2 miles, went they like to go to these dollar stores, right? So to get things, so drove them there. Then the person that honked had followed me the whole way, because I did the windshield wiper, and it went on his car, and he had just cleaned the car. He was very angry. You follow somebody 2 miles because a little bit of water went on the car after you cleaned it. So in this way, how exactly this? You know, you take care of your car, but you don't have to spoil your car like that, right? It's a car. So in any case, so like this. So the vehicle, we take care of it. So look, be the indifference of the body. St. Francis of Assisi, he would call the body brother donkey. Because the donkey is very good for doing work. Mm. And you take care of it, but then it doesn't need pampering or anything like this. So, you know, you have to take care of it. If you have a donkey, it doesn't work. You have to take care of it, feed it, let it get enough rest and everything, wash it. You know, you need to take care of it. But, you know, who's going to pamper their donkey like this? Horse, people, maybe they're going to brush the hair and whatever, but donkey, who thinks of that? So like this. So in this way. And then afterwards, the mind as well. You know, mind I have to take care of too, but the mind is also an instrument. So the mind, the less I identify with its states, less it's going to be running, caught up in the different things. So, because I'm trying, so again, I'm running out, and what happens, that's why samatvam is what we're looking for, because we want the balance, right? And the balance is not to be caught up in the extremes, the sides. Like this, the more in the balance, the less those things are going to pull you here and there. Like this, just a game of the mind, you could say. So, sukha dukkha, and then any pair of opposites, labha labha, in you know, gain or loss, profit and loss, like this. Because anything you do, something will work in your favor in obtaining, you know, whether possessions, wealth, whatever it is, whatever artha, friend circle, whatever you want. Some things will work and some the opposite, no matter what you do. And if you just see it, our possessions, you know, we get them for mostly for artha kama, maybe some for dharma, but mostly artha kama is most. And then we see how that it's needed. You know, you need artha, you know, you need a place to stay, right? You need food, you need money for things. So it's not that it's not needed, but the thing is, it's secondary. We don't give it if we give that over importance, then you're dependent on that instead of it's just a tool for what's needed, like this. Then what happens is, you know, the person next door gets the bigger car. Our teacher Vijay Kapoorji, he got invited once someplace where some very rich people are there. Because in the Bay Area here, we have a lot of people from India that are very rich. So some circle like this, somehow they invited. He was the only one there that's not one of these very rich people. And one person there was feeling, you know, not as good because he has a small private plane. The others have big private planes, you see. It's same thing as my next door neighbor got an $80,000 Tesla and I have a $40,000 Tesla. That kind of thing. When I got my car, I got secondhand Prius some years ago. So my younger brother, who doesn't drive, he's in England, he just takes a bike. So he said, did he get it for status or for this? I said, no, old car to get rid of, and this is the best choice for environment I could do. You know, I can get electric, but that's so costly. I don't have money to spend like that. So it's practical like this. So we have to check ourselves, why am I doing it? And so in any case, the balance, some things you're gonna gain, some will lose, no matter what. Impossible not to have that. That's everything, you know. This Lakshmi in this verse I quote a while back, Chanchala. She's Chanchala, so sometimes comes, sometimes go. That's how it is. So I have to be in balance. I do my best because we work, so we make money, so we can use it for whatever best thing we think. So yes, I have to be diligent about. And yes, so sometimes it'll be like this, sometimes like that, in this way. That's just how it is. And jaya, jaya, and success and failure. Very similar, like this. Some things you'll succeed, some things not. Inevitably in life, we do many endeavors. Inevitably, some will be successful. Some will be failure, inevitably. You can't, impossible without that. People hold on. They have a career in something. They hold on. They want to always be in the success. And then if they're too successful, what happens when there's a failure? How, you know, like this. How they're going to, oh no, like this. So, inevitable. That's how it is. So the thing is, from worldly perspective, we're working towards success. But from Karma Yogi perspective, working towards samatvam. Do your dharma, do it samatvam, balance. Meaning, if this comes good, if that comes good, then I can learn. So my real success is that I'm balanced whether what I'm trying to do succeeded or not. Because otherwise, I'm in a trap that I'm going to feel very good when I succeed. I'll feel bad when I don't succeed. So of course, he's just introducing the Karma Yoga. We'll go into more, of course. But how important this is. So that's the real success, like this. So this is what's needed. Quote Swami Dayananda quoted, he says that the success in life is the capacity to face success and failure without being too much emotionally disturbed, like this. Because that's just how it is, you know. So then you can learn more, you can learn better. If I'm more aware, I learn better, I can do better afterwards, instead of beating myself over the head. And then, so one thing that's said about what Karma Yoga then you can say is, one way to look at it is, instead of IQ, IQ is, right, intelligence quota, right? This intelligence quota, IQ tests also, I think they've changed over years because, you know, it's not just information, there's a lot more, and it depends where you come from, different background, different mindset. You can also be, a lot of people won't do well in what's called an I, at least older IQ tests, be very successful because it's not necessarily in hand. But in any case, so there's that IQ, but then what Swami Paramahansa Nandaji says, EQ, you need EQ, emotional quota, that emotionally balance, then more success. Because somebody is very smart, knows the topic very well, right? Two students are in the school. One is like that top, knows well. He goes to the exam, there are 10 questions. First one, he really doesn't know, so he gets all worried and all panicky, right? Mm. So then the other 9 he knows perfectly, but he'll mess up because he gets so worried that he couldn't do that one, right? So he doesn't do well, he gets a B-, whatever. Other one was okay, not knowing as well, but then isn't worried, looks in, you know, because not worried, whatever's the memory doesn't fail. Mm. Not worried in this, looks at, okay, this I know pretty much, let me write this, I don't know, let me skip, and then does much better like this. So this is the more important thing than just the intelligence, emotional intelligence, if you want to, whatever, like this. So this is what's important in pointing out here, like this. Tato yudha yudhyasva. So then in this way, you fight, you face your duties, you do what's needed, and then it becomes more like a training ground, right? A training ground isn't that you're get the training ground, you're learning and growing. If I take, as I go through life, as Swami Shivananda, you talk about, you be an eternal student. You're always learning. So for a student, you're learning. Yes, so if one exam you didn't do as good, okay, fine, there are more exams, I'll do better. The fact that whatever I didn't learn do well in the exam, I want to learn from that. And then I can do better afterwards. Like this. Like previous job I had, this one fellow was moved to a different place. So I was chatting with him because I was also going to move, because we were far away from there, to find some other work. So I asked him about how he got the job and everything. He said he went for test interviews. I said, what do you mean? What is a test interview? He said, you go to a job that you don't necessarily think you'll be able to get into or even want, but you do the interview. And then they give you, if you don't succeed at this, they'll usually give you some feedback. And then you'll see what you didn't do as well at, and then your other interviews you can do well. Mm-hmm. So, wow, this is very interesting. Good idea. So if I see the interview as just a test interview, I see everything in life as I'm learning and growing, then everything is a valuable thing for me to grow. If I see it as karma pala, this is the result, this is what I have, this is what I have to go through, oh, why this, I can be like this. So anyway, it'll be gone any moment. Just like you go to school, and you go to college, where are college days? They're gone, right? Let's say you decide to go get some other degree, MBA, a lot of people get MBAs, whatever, you do something. You know you'll be there a year and a half and you're done, it's also. So here, every stage we're at in life is also just a temporary stage, just like a student is just a role you're playing in order to focus on your studies. That's it, it's just a role and that will be gone. Right? So every role, as an employee, as a parent, as anything, it's a role, a temporary role I have. In this whole role in my life is a temporary role. I'll learn and leave. So if I'm trying just to hold on, people keep in contact with the people in school and keep talking to them. They have their 50th anniversary, 50th reunion or things like this they have, right? So holding on to their whole identity, I was a student then, like this. So you do your role, and I move on. I have my role now. My role then is gone, right? That's just, I'm holding on to memory that I'm going to go to my reunion with school or whatever. So in this way, this whole lifetime, some role I play and it's done, finished. So if I learn from it, I'll grow. If not, if I just hold on to it as a result, I'm going to get emotionally pulled here and there, ups and downs because of the... And actually, it's very good for us to have a good percentage of what we do failures, because somebody too successful, when failure comes to them, how difficult it's going to be, right? How hard. Swami Vishwanandaji would always give the example of Marilyn Monroe, right? Very pretty, this, successful, but inside, obviously, didn't find anything and ended with suicide like this, because you know. And nowadays, actually, a lot of the movie stars, as they get older, playing older characters. So good, it's, you know, that's more mature. But somebody that's just based on the looks, when that starts going, what are they going to do? They're going to feel useless now. The most, you know, by nature. Nature, you know, hair is going to turn gray, we'll wrinkle, get older. Well, that's nature like this. What can we do? Everybody, all the movie stars except Shah Rukh Khan. He'll play the 25-year-old until he's 80. I've seen him in a few movies, but he's, you know, he must be 60 and he's playing still the young person. Somehow his looks have stayed. So he's unfortunate, because when he gets older, it might be harder for him. Where other ones, they get older, like I've seen Tom Hanks. He's getting older, he's gracefully playing older character. Or Amitabh Bachchan, they're getting older. So they're playing older characters and they're fine with it. That's good, you know. You're older, that's it. So we have to know I'm playing my role here in this world. I played a student, I'm playing a parent, I play a retiree, I play whatever. It's still a role, because if I hold on to the role doesn't go how I want. I'll get angry at the director, I'll get angry at the God, why is this my role? See, well, it's a role, you just have to learn your playing role and what difference does it make. For a good actor, what difference does it make what role they have in the film? They do it well. So in any case, in this way, naivam papam avapsyasi, then you won't have papam, then you won't get caught up in this. You'll free yourself, because what do I want? I say punyam, I want punyam. What do I want? I want to get to better place. So I want to get better place. Well, the best thing, samatva, then you create the internal conditions, they'll be fine regardless what karma comes. Better punyam is that, you know, how great that is. I'll give you a nice example. Punyam, Swami Premanandaji in Uttarkashi. He grew up in a very simple village, like whatever neighbor is far, far away like this. So from young, they never had shoes. They didn't have pocket money, anything. He said only when he went to high school, first time his father gave him shoes. So his father was very strict with them, like this, didn't give so much anything, didn't spoil them in any way. So people were telling his father, come on, you have some money, give your kids some new things. So he says, yes, yes. And then he'd say, these people don't know anything how to raise kids, forget it. But he said, because of that, he could live very simply with anything. Later, when he left, became monk, he could just go without anything, he could just go sleep under a tree. He said, if he would have been spoiled, then how difficult it would be. So what great training, right? So in this way, we have to learn how to, you know, like I'm just thinking kids now, if they grow up with the phone so much, they can't live with the day without the phone, an hour without the phone, how? What a kind of a mindset, boy, that's amazing. But in any case, so the main thing is, main punyam is, you know, how my mind is set up so that I can focus on these things. Like this, you know, literally in education, this should be the main, you know, this should be taught more than just the information for people, because inevitably they're going to go through difficulties in life. So it has to prepare them for life. It prepares for life because they get information and how to get work and how to learn things, but not how to, you know, face life. And, you know, I can see, like, my wife and her sisters who grew up in much simpler era in India, like this. So they face life much easier because they saw it in the day in, day out. Where growing up with everything around and without the education system helping with that is not preparing us for life. So this is what it's pointing out, I think. So in any case, let's continue here. So keeping the equilibrium and whatever conditions, that's the most important thing, saying. And now he's going to, for a little bit, Sri Krishna is giving an introduction to the Karma Yoga. Introduction, that's what he's doing in the next few verses. Esha te bhita sankhye, esha te bhita sankhye, buddhir yoge tvimam shrinu. Buddhir yoge tvimam shrinu, buddhya yukto yaya partha, buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi karma bandham prahasyasi. This knowledge imparted to you till now deals with Sankhya. Now, listen to this following teaching, which deals with yoga. Endowed with this knowledge, you will give up the bondage of karma, O Arjuna. So up till now, Sankhya, here meaning that there's a Sankhya philosophy, but here talking about Vedanta, because talk to Vedanta. Sankhya can also mean Atma, in this case Atma Jnana. So this is what he's been talking to mostly up to now. So now, okay, now I'm going to talk about yoga, meaning karma yoga. Yoga, any yoga has to do with activity. So, because even bhakti yoga, you're doing actions, karmas, rituals, what used to be called karma, the Vedic rituals, karma. And then you're doing an action. Even you, what we call upasanas, meditations, mental action. You know, you visualize a deity, visualize certain things, it's an action, mental action, so it's also karma. You know, Raja Yoga is karma, you're doing activity, working with the mind or with the body in certain ways. So they're all clubbed together into Karma Yoga like this. Did we read the English here? No. Yes, we did, right? This knowledge imparted to you till now deals with Sankhya. Now listen to these following teachings which deal with yoga. Endowed with this knowledge, you will give up the bondage of karma or Arjuna. So the karma yoga, for what happens is somebody wants to have moksha, wants to be free. That's what we all want. In the end, everybody wants freedom. You know, who doesn't want to be free, right? We do our actions because we want to be free. That's what we do. If I go and rob a bank because I want to be free, I want to be free from whether the rule of law, I want to show that I can do how I want, or I want to be free from poverty so I can have whatever I need, or I'm being threatened by somebody that I have to do that for them, so I want to be free from that threat. Whatever I do, I'm doing it at the end because I want to be free. I'm working, making money so I can be financially free, or whatever it is, free from my debt. I do something in order to have pleasure because I think that I want to be free from the boredom in the mind, or from, you know, from the mind dullness in the mind, or from the mind, you know, not feeling good. So all these things, and then I want to be free. So here, when we see that these things don't give freedom, and then we slowly understand that, yes, what is moksha, we have to understand. And as we discuss moksha, if it's, I'll go to the heaven and then I'll go to moksha step by step, whatever, then also you can't get there, you know, it's not a step moksha, because if it's a step, it comes from some effort, some action. If karma brings moksha, meaning moksha obtained by something, meaning it can also be lost by something, right? Because anything done by an action can be undone by other actions. So that's how moksha can't be. So moksha has to be, if moksha is there, it has to already be there, I just don't see it. That's the only way. That Atma, I can't become unlimited. I either am unlimited or not. You can't have. So then it means it has to be done by understanding. That's the only way. Because if I want to get in a different way, meaning that I didn't understand what moksha is. All right? People, I've seen this, come to a guru, oh, please give me moksha in this. And they have to understand what it is. I was a Swami Ram Sarupanandaji, went to somebody's house in India. Very nice family, like this, very, very devoted, very nice. And so the mother of the family, she said, Swamiji, I want to get moksha in this. I said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? People have, especially in the East, in India, idea of moksha, but they don't know what they mean by moksha, right? Moksha freedom, what is it? Yeah, I'll go to the heaven, something will free, or the guru will be pleased and bless me. They do not have an idea. But very simple logic is, you have to already be free, or you can never be free. And then so it has to only be understanding. So for moksha, then jnanam is needed, knowledge, understanding. Now what happens is, we already heard about, we were for 5 months, we heard about most of it about Vedanta. Have we really understood in this? Well, kind of, right? I'm the Atma, not limited. Seems to be limited though. Yeah, so, but I still feel limited, right? This is what happens. So meaning that, it's meaning that, okay, the understanding can be there. We can we'll study with a little more study, can understand why the Atma isn't limited. We understood a little bit about it, but even though I understand, okay, but it doesn't really do it. Why? Because the mind isn't properly prepared for it. The instrument just isn't fully prepared, so it can't totally, you know, totally grasp it. Meaning there's some understanding, but I don't see it because of so much, because the instrument hasn't been made subtle enough like this. So has been made subtle enough for it, then I can see it. Clear enough that I can see. So for that we say jnana yogyata. Jnana yogyata meaning the mind should be a prepared mind for it. Have the right structure, whatever if you want for it. So prepared mind is needed. So then, okay, I need to prepare my mind. And so that's where karma yoga is coming in, then karma yoga helping to prepare the mind like this. So that's, and what happens is in our spiritual sadhana, we don't understand what I'm doing for what. A lot of us, like myself and many people, we come to yoga for, you know, stress is number one, and health also like this. These are the two main things people come to yoga for. Now, that's a wonderful thing. If we didn't have some stress or unhealth, we wouldn't have come to it. We come and slowly we feel there's something more than just having the mind be a little quiet and having feeling a little more healthy. It's nice, but that doesn't do it. So what is the root problem is something else. So those are symptoms. So we come for the symptomatic relief, and then slowly the yoga introduces there's something more like this. But then the yoga, then, preparation. That's also why Yoga Vedanta Centers, Swami Shivananda had, Swami Vishnavanandaji, my guru, also called Shivananda Yoga Vedanta Centers, Vedanta Ashrams, because yoga is can prepare. So the yoga, then, to prepare the mind so that I can further knowledge like this. That's. So it's important to understand that, because we do so many different, people do so many different spiritual practices, not understanding what it's for. They think something is going to take them all the way, where it's really preparation. All the bhakti and karma, the Raja Yoga, they're good, very good preparation for the mind. Think at the beginning, we talked at the beginning of the course, the mala, right, the impurity in the mind, and the vikshepa. So for these things, because it's too caught up. I want to contemplate on atma-vichara, who I am behind these panchakosha. But I'm caught up in those koshas. I'm caught up in gauna kosha. Gauna kosha, what's connected to it around family and possession. This, I sit to meditate. I'm thinking, obviously the mind will drift to things I'm dealing with. For me, you know, okay, drifting to why the tomato plant isn't doing good, right? So if I'm going to not be able to meditate because I'm going to be thinking about what's going to happen to my tomato plant, then, you know. So the thing is, I want to inquire, but I need the samatam, I need the mind to be more balanced, so that I can put things aside and look into, otherwise how can I do it? So then the yoga is helping for this. Like this, not, I don't have to throw everything out, you know, I can simplify as much as is good for me, but I can't just throw everything out. If somebody does throw everything out, then they're going to, you know, that's also, somebody can do if they're ready in this, but it's not easy. Still, ideas are there, still hold on to. Live in a small hut, and this is my hut, not yours, and there's a problem there, whatever. So, you know, so it's the problem is in the mind, not in the externals like this. So in any case, so this is, so progression from karma yoga prepares the mind, so mind is a prepared instrument, so then I can, you know, have clear understanding, then I can be free like this. This is the how this is built up like this. So, and the Vedas go according to this. Karma kanda is huge, so much because you have like a supermarket. So, you have for the people who want to obtain something, People want to get to the heavens, and people want to purify the mind. People want to expand the mind, because the upasana and everything, both for making the mind more subtle, more focused, like this. Then, last Upanishads for understanding. And they are just very much less, because that's the essence. Essence is there. Preparation, you can do in many ways, no problem. But the essence, you know, you can cook food in many ways, right? But then, once it goes in, the essence is pulled out of the system the same way. So the essence in the end has to be the same way, like this. So in any case, so this is what happens. Now, then we say, well, is Atmavichara, is it easy or difficult? People say, oh, it's a very difficult thing. How can we do it? It's impossible, this. You know. So similar, you'll say, you know, you'll ask somebody, well, is to, you know, is to, in any field you want, to play this instrument very well, is it difficult or easy? Well, it depends. You come to a music teacher, I want to play classical violin, is it difficult? He says, well, it depends. If you practice like this, you come to the class, you practice, you follow the instructions, after a few years, it'll be easier for you to play this, right? Simple. How long will it take? Well, some people takes 2 years, some people takes 5 years, depending on, you know, their, how much effort they, you know, if they put in effort, depending on their talent and how much effort it is, you know, then 2 to 5 years you can do, you can play this thing like that. So is Atmavichara easy or difficult? Well, it depends on the preparation, like that. It's like this. And literally, this I heard from our teacher here, and I can tell you myself too, what, as you study it, what gets in the, after you have some more understanding, what gets the way is the mind, citta shuddhi, the mind wasn't prepared properly. That's pulling you away from it. So very important, slowly, slowly turning our life into preparation, because either it's worldly means I'm running after karma pala, after results, identifying with them, whether this world or for future, other world or this, or that I'm doing for service or for purification. Those two. The more I'm doing it for the latter, the more free the mind is not caught up, easier to look into. There's actually one very practical thing in it too. Very practical things. You can be doing either kamya, if you do actions, kamya karma or the nimitta karma, what's needed, and what I like to do, right? You'll find if the more I do just what's needed to do, then more time gets freed. And you can look into this like that. It's true, we're busy and everything. But the thing is, if we were to take, let's say we're very busy, so we have an average of an hour a day that is free in this. If half of that time, instead of doing my, just what I like, but instead I do, meditation and study in this, then what a great use of time. So this way, it just is a practical thing. It's helpful. Like it helps in the time and everything. So like this, this points it out. So esha bhita sankhya. So up till now, in this sankhya and Vedanta that we spoke about, buddhihi are the knowledge, yoga tvimam shrunu. Now listen to this knowledge about yoga, right? Buddhya yuktaha yaya parata, who has, you know, this clear understanding about then karma bandham prahasyasi. So the karma yoga frees you from bondage of karma, frees you from, right? What was it we said? From the pairs of opposites, right? From what is the how am I bound by action? I am attached to the result, to sukha dukkha, right? I'm free from that. Whatever comes, I can learn and I can grow, and then it frees me from that. Because otherwise, I'm bound by that. Because I'm bound by will it succeed, will not, what are people saying, but not like this. I'm free, so less disturbance of the mind. I can look more into who I am behind this mind. I'm caught up in the movement of the mind. So I can't look further. Mind is less caught up. It's not that it's not moving, but it's not as moving as much. We're actually, with the Raja Yoga, what we do, we t- technically we use techniques to quiet the mind. But it's techniques, meaning the mind in itself will keep producing the things because it's not going to the root like this. But then the detachment, vairagya, which karma yoga is helping to build like that, that goes more to the root. So what will happen is the less I'm attached to what the condition is, the less the mind on itself, it's going to perpetuate the movement. So, and easier not to be caught up in the movement as well. That's why yoga, really, you have the yama niyama and then asana pranayama later. But people go for the asana pranayama and don't club it together with that, because it feels good. But that feeling good goes away quickly because it's not, doesn't have that root behind it, like this, so important like this. So, and to break the bonds of karma then I can really look at things clearly like this, that I'm not identified just with that in that way. And what is the, karma bandha then also? Karma bandha is the samsara that we heard that Arjuna is caught up in. If you remember, due to raga, attachment, then shoka comes, more attached, more suffering will be there, and moha, and then delusion comes because I'm caught up in certain, the mind is so caught up in the ups and downs and everything, and it starts due to my expectation and raga dvesha, it builds up a whole other set of logic that isn't grounded in the facts, right? You know, we have a great example here, you know, in here in our politics in this country, not grounded in fact, just emotional. Mm-hmm. So some politicians want to make things emotional thing because then the person won't use the logic and follow that. Where use simple logic and then it'll look very different in this way. So that's moha. So we do the moha too, because in the same way we can see the external example to look at ourselves. When my mind justifies because of my raga dvesha and my expectations of this, not because of simple what's in front, what's the fact to deal with like this. So this we get caught up in like that. So that's the samsara, that's free from that, then I can look clearly. So let's see, we'll continue here. Neha bhikramana shosti Neha bhikramana shosti Pratyavayo na vidyate Pratyavayo na vidyate Swalpamapyasya dharmasya Trayate mahato bhayat. In this field there is no failure, there's no adverse result. Even a little bit of this discipline protects one from great fear. And here he wrote to make clear what the fear is. Samsara is the great fear. Because great fear, change. What if it'll be like this? What if it'll be like that? What if Trump gets reelected, right? What if the global warming and this? What if if I won't be well enough, who's gonna take care of me? What if this? What if this? Endless worries like this, endless. The what if. Yeah, if, then we'll deal. You do your best to repair and then you deal with it like this. So what if, samsara, what if? So in this way. So again, what happens is we measure ourselves by what I have, what is around me, what is the immediate experience like this. That's how I measure myself, meaning my surrounding. And so I through my thoughts and through my body, my energy, through my koshas, right? Mm-hmm. My mind, my energy, so physical health and energy in this, and physical body. So these I measure myself in this way. So by what we say, by the temporary situation, by what I have, what I experience around, not by what I am, like this. So this is how I measure myself, where that's just, not measuring the essence. So since I measure myself by that, then I will have this limited measure. And then, of course, as an individual, there's the survival. I have to survive. There's no doubt that you have to take care. And there are so many adverse things that can come. We just went through the whole pandemic and everything. So there are all the adverse things that can come and cause so much trouble and everything. Right, that is, from that perspective. But I measure by that, but not by who I am behind this role. So the more, when I measure myself by that, then I will be caught up in this whole stuff. When I, by what I am, then this is just the temporary situation. And temporary situation, then it's not as big a deal like that. And so, na iha abhikramanasha asti, and there's no loss in this. So what happens when you do other activity, from worldly perspective, there's gain and loss. From karma yoga, there's no loss. What loss is there? I fail in something, it's not a loss, but I learn and grow. I learn, I grow. I see that it's helping me to find my samatam, right? That my samatam, whether it goes here, I'm witness. I'm sakshi. I see this happening, it comes and goes. I see this happening, it comes and goes. My balance point. I'm at the balance point. Then there's no loss. If five times I lose, because if five times I don't manage, and out of those five, one times I manage a little bit not to get caught up in, oh, I've learned, I've grown so much, I've raked. Next time I'll manage two out of those times not to be caught up in. So there's no loss in it compared to other things. And pratyavayo na vidyate, there's no adverse reaction as well, adverse side effects. When you do any other activity, there's going to be some good and some bad that comes out of it. There's no doubt like this. You can't have any action only doing good, only doing bad. There'll always be some mixture. You can't do it like this. There's a beautiful movie some years back about Mahatma Gandhi's son who died as an alcoholic. So it showed, look, what great he's done, but still, obviously he was probably too busy with the whole country and everything, all society, his own son, he didn't take care of properly, his own son suffered from it. So he did a lot of good, but there's bad too, like this. So you can't have only good and no bad. That's why Yudhishthira in Mahabharata has shown dharma, but he has a weakness also. With the gambling, he's a weakness as well. To show this, to illustrate this point. So in this way, any action you do, you take, this is the allopathic medicine, you take something, it helps with the problem, and it creates side effects. So take something with the side effect, it helps, that causes another problem. Never ends like this. So anything you do has some side effect. Here says, what? There's no side effect here. So here, you don't lose anything, no side effects. So he's giving a good, Shri Krishna's giving good introduction to make us interested. Oh, I want to know this Karma Yoga, because how wonderful, best advertisement for it. And the thing is, advertisements, they stretch things, stretch. Somebody in the advertising should be so happy, so smiling, because you still don't know what. It's going to be a car, it's going to be life insurance, it's going to be medicine, what is it? We don't know yet. But they want to show happy food, they go to a fast food place. Oh, it's only $1.99 or whatever. And then when it's something with medicine or side effects, at the end, they have, by law, they have to read, so those side effects are... And when you listen to those, it can bring suicide, sometimes suicidal thoughts. I'm thinking, my God, who would want to take this medicine? Suicidal thoughts. So it'll take away my pain, it'll give, or my disease. But suicidal thoughts, I prefer to have the disease. So in any case, the main thing is that it doesn't have, here he's not stretching the results. These are the results. It doesn't have side effects. It doesn't have negative. It doesn't have that. And it's, this is how it is, not just as stretching in the advertising. Svalpam api asya dharmasya, even a little bit of this, trayate, mahato bhayat, takes you beyond a lot of fear. It really helps to take you free from so much. So much of it. So of course, you know, a little bit, you know, a little bit meaning putting some, but by practicing some, it makes you feel, it really helps you with so much of this stuff. So there's no loss you can have in doing this, in living this karma yoga, no loss. Whatever you have, it's not going to take that out. You won't lose anything. What is there to lose? I'll lose my position, I'll lose this. And let's say there's actually, I don't remember where this was, article or interview or something, but in any case, somebody speaking to somebody who, you know, spiritually inclined person doing business, and that person saying, we can't not bend the rules for being successful in business. Said, okay, let's say you didn't bend them. What would be the difference in the profits? Okay, 10% less profit, or whatever the number they got to. Okay, so let's say you make 100,000 and, you know, you make 80,000 instead. What's the big deal? You make 80,000 instead, but inside you'll be more peaceful, you'll feel better about, so what's the problem? So yes, so there will be loss in that way, but how much more gain you're gonna have from this? And actually, if you keep doing like that anyway, reputation will be better, so anyway, you'll do fine. Probably that reputation will be because if you have better trust in this, I'm just guessing. So from worldly perspective, we don't have to lose. And if some would be lost anyway, it doesn't matter. What's the big deal? It's not going to be everything. So, and you'll see in all fields, you'll see a mixture of all types of people. Whatever field you go into any field, you'll find it, right? So it's not the certainly certain field that we have to be for this. All actions be karma yoga. When I was at our Shivananda Center in New York, then for many years there was a bank right on the corner, just down the block. So I used to go, for some years I had to go, and I would deposit there every day. So first of all, one lady was there, some Caribbean lady, she worked in the bank. She was always very cheerful. It's amazing like this. And she knows I'm coming from yoga center, this. Coming dressed in this funny way, you know, like in Bay Area, in Manhattan, if you go, nobody's going to also blink how you're dressed. Sometimes we do puja in the center, and then you know, I've tilak stuff on, and I'd go out, do some errands, come back, and I notice, I'd tell the staff members, why didn't you tell my hat on? I should have wiped out because people look. So in any case, so this lady there once, I said, oh, you know, from the yoga center, we've open house if you want to come. And she says, no, this is my yoga. Her work is her yoga. Why not? Right. And then there was one beggar who was always in front of the bank. And I'd noticed the elderly African-American fellow, and he'd always be chatting with people. People would come in chatting. So I started going and chatting with him. He's so positive fellow. He would brag about how he outlasted 3 guards in the bank. The bank after some time brought a guard, security person, and that one would have the beggars go away. But he was so friendly, this, they let him stay there. He had so much practical wisdom, positive in this, really amazing. You know, he was doing his role like this. So, meaning, you know, you can be in whatever your external circumstance, it's the attitude and doing in a certain way. He was doing it, I thought, wow, he's doing such a great service. Most beggars, people don't, you know, shy away from him. People come and chat and know him, and they call him Pops. People call him Pops Chad and this and everything. Very friendly. So whatever role you do, you can be doing is karma yoga. You don't have to be. So it's not, I have to go to this place or that. That's just changing, horizontal changing. We can change horizontally. People go to ashram horizontally, but then they might, you know, be bringing all of their attachments and frustrations to there. That happens too. You'll see it, you know. It's no guarantee just because you go to ashram or also. I've lived in ashram. It's a mix. You have people of all kinds there too. So the thing is, so that's the, this is what thanks. So it won't look this. So it's the helps with it from all perspectives. That's the thing. And then he'll be just from this. He'll have a little bit more to say about, you know. Discuss about karma yoga and about the difference of trying to do action, wanting the result. He'll be discussing this in the next few verses. Then he'll get into the essence of karma yoga after that. So this is what's coming up here the next few verses that we'll see from next time. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So now Shaila, who likes to ask a good question after everybody disperses, she doesn't have a choice if she wants to ask because she's online. She's not sitting here.
I don't have my calculator.
No problem. That's thanks to, you know, much thanks to Zoom Devata, you can join us.
Yeah, I logged into the wrong, the older account.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No problem. No problem. Because last week, after you had a good question, you were asking about how to. Nowadays, you said, how do people know dharma? Then what to do, with the society and change and everything. So it's a very good question. We said that what happens is, if everything is exactly set, we can just be a robot. But situations will always change, so always we have to use our intellect. Always there will be some gray zone, so always we have to learn detachment or we're going to get caught up in. So think of how well the whole system is set up, that you cannot get all the answers for what I have to do and then and how to do. There's never the complete answer, right? So then you have to put in effort and you have to, and then you have to see when you're attached to it, there would be the emotional up and down. When you learn to in a detached manner, there's more clarity and peace of mind. So by design, so it's by design, I think, I would think. So it's a very good question last time. Yeah. Good, good. Well, so we'll continue the next time.
Thank you.
We'll see you. Oh.